It never feels good to be in an irritable mood. Today we'll find out why they come and how to get rid of them.
Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
Paul wrote the book of Philippians to encourage the Philippians to guard that unity in the face of suffering. He's saying, I need to know that even in the midst of the suffering, you're going to keep your unity intact. And here's what's really fascinating. The solution that Paul offers to their unity problem, or their disunity problem, is something you would never guess. And yet it makes perfect sense. The solution to disunity is joy. Joy. That's why he says so much in this book about joy. See, here's what naturally happens to a church when they suffer. First, we tend to interpret the suffering the wrong way. That's when suffering harms us instead of doing us good, is when we interpret it wrong. So we interpret suffering the wrong way. That's how it starts. Then that wrong interpretation of suffering kills our joy, destroys our joy. And when joy goes out of a church, the next domino to fall is going to be unity. It's always going to be unity that's going to suffer when we lose our joy. See, the reason people start bickering at each other and not getting along in church is because their joy levels get too low. Congregation's joy level gets too low and they start grumbling against the leadership. Leadership's joy level gets low and they start having a bad attitude towards the congregation or towards each other. People working together in ministry, their joy level gets low. They start picking at each other and getting on each other's nerves. And the unity of the church that is so precious to the Holy Spirit and so precious to God the Father and so precious to God the Son is shattered. So what's the solution to all that? James gave the solution on the negative side. Remember, he gave the solution by pointing out the idolatry in our hearts, the selfishness and the pride and the worldliness and dealing with all that. In Philippians, we get the positive side of the solution, which is joy. You just need to increase your joy. If you want more unity in the church, it's not going to happen until joy levels go up. Paul heard about these unity problems that they were having in Philippi, in this church that he loved so dearly, and he decided to take the approach of writing them a letter of pure encouragement. No rebuke at all. You won't even find it. It's just pure encouragement and instruction about here's how you increase your joy. And then showing his example of how he does it. So when Paul says, I want you to have more joy, it's not just a little throwaway greeting card, nice little thing. It's right at the core of everything Paul is trying to accomplish in their lives, in his ministry. The success or the failure of the church is riding on whether joy levels stay high enough in the church. It doesn't take a Bible expert, interpreter, to read the book of Philippians and see that it was just really, really, really important to Paul that they increase their joy. First in chapter 1, he talks about all his joy as an example. Then he gets to talking about the possibility that he might die. And he's like, man, what would be better? I'd like to die and go to heaven. That'd be cool. I'd love to be with Christ. But it's more beneficial for you, I say. And then he finally says, you know what? I'm going to stay. In this world, I want to keep on, I'm convinced God's going to keep me here because that's what's best for your joy. Look at verse 25. Convinced of this, I know that instead of dying and being with Christ, I will remain in the body and will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. That's what made Paul want to keep going. That's what made him want to stay alive. And it's a summary of his job description. This is my job. For your progress and your joy in the faith. I have to get that going. That's what a church leader does. Look at chapter 2, verse 18. He tells them, you too should be glad and rejoice with me. 2:28. Look at verse 28 of chapter 2. I'm all the more eager to send him so that when you see him again, you may be glad. Look at verse 29. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. He just starts out that chapter. Finally, brothers, rejoice in the Lord. And if they haven't picked up on it yet by the time you get to chapter 4, look at chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. He really wants them to rejoice. Paul uses the word joy or rejoice 16 times in this little book. Far more often than any other book in the Bible. Half of those 16 are Paul telling them how to have joy. The other half are references to Paul's joy so that he can teach them by example. This whole first chapter, that's what it is. It's here, let me show you how I have joy in the midst of terrible suffering. Which is why I've titled this whole section in chapter 1, Joy by Example. Joy by example. Working for their joy was always Paul's job description as a spiritual leader in the church. He gave that same job description to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 1:24. He says, not that we lord it over your faith, but we are workers with you for your joy, because it's by faith that you stand firm. That's what we are. We're workers for your joy. People need to stand firm in the faith, and they're not going to be able to do that unless they've got enough joy in the Lord. Without that, they won't stand firm, and the church unity is going to be destroyed. So joy is critical, especially the kind of joy that comes from love relationships. It's great to have the joy that comes from just your private time alone with God. You're in your prayer closet all by yourself, just your Bible and God, and you have all this joy from worshiping Him and everything. That's great. That's great. You need that. You do. But that kind of joy by itself is not enough. It's not enough. You need the bigger joy, the greater joy that comes from loving people. That's what Jesus said in John 15:11. He says, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you. That's pretty big. And your joy may be complete. How does that sound to you? I mean, all in favor of having Christ's joy in you and your joy being complete. Okay, good, yeah. So how does that happen? Well, look at the next verse, verse 12. He says, you'll have this if you keep my commands. And my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. The greatest joy in life does not come from being loved by people. It comes from loving people.
One of the most miserable moods you can get into is irritability. Does irritability count as a mood? I don't know, but whatever term you use for it, we all know what that's like when you just get way more easily irritated than normal. The tiniest little setback. You know, you set something down on the counter and it falls to the floor because you didn't quite get it on there, or you bump your knee, or somebody says something cross. Little things that normally don't bother you, and anger just flares in your heart. When those moods come, the worst thing we can do is assume the problem is all the little irritations. They're not the problem. The problem is not that thing that you set down and it dropped, or the person who said something you didn't like, or any of that. Those things happen other days, and you're just fine. To recover from irritability, it's essential to realize what's going on. Your joy level is running low. Your soul is dried up and thirsty. Nothing will help except drinking from God's fountain of living water. And one of the surest ways to do that is by loving people. The next time you find yourself slipping into irritability, just look around and say, okay, all right, my soul is dried up. My soul needs a drink. Who can I show love to for Christ's sake? Find someone near you, or think of someone in your family or a friend, and just ask, what is one thing about that person that reflects God's nature that I can take delight in right now? Look around and say, how could I serve someone right now? And it doesn't matter if they're around to see it or not, just what's something I can do right now that would serve another person for the sake of Jesus? Father, whenever I become aware of the fact that I'm lacking joy, help me understand that it's because my soul is dry and I need to drink. The problem isn't my circumstances. The problem isn't people around me or other drivers in traffic or politicians doing crazy things or any of that. The problem is my soul is dry, it's thirsty, and the solution is you. Lord, will you open my eyes to see opportunities today to love and serve people that I might otherwise miss? And by your Spirit, will you remind me that if I love them for the sake of your Son, that will bring me the deepest, richest, most durable, long-lasting kind of joy? You grant your children eternal blessings and make us glad with the joy of your presence when we come near you. You lift up my head, so in your house I worship with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to you, Lord. Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me into your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to your altar, to you, the gladness of my rejoicing. There is a river whose streams make glad your city, the holy place where the Most High dwells. It's beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth. Blessed are those who have learned the joyful shout, who walk in the light of your presence. O Lord, I rejoice with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord."
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of Philippians, 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.